Lunch and Learn. I hope you enjoyed last week's, where we spoke about the benefits to your practice of incorporating a hygiene program within your practice. This whole month is talking about dental hygiene, and today's episode is a good buddy of mine, a colleague who is also a dental practice consultant and coach, Amina Basile of Dental Management Expertise. Welcome, my good friend. How are you?
Hi, Julie. Hi, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming on this episode. I've had limited experience working with hygiene programs, as when I had my practice in the practices that I worked in prior to having my own practice, none of them had a hygienist, but you have been well-versed in this area, haven't you, Amina?
Yeah, I've been working with hygienists maybe for about 25 years, and I love it.
I love it. So, as you just heard, last time we spoke about the benefits of having a hygiene program for dental practices. One, financially, it makes great sense for the practice. Number two, it makes great sense for the patient because they're getting a more detailed experience. So the cleaning normally takes a bit longer, but also they're getting a whole bunch of oral hygiene instruction and maintenance going on there as well. The third benefit is that the hygienist and the dentist can be really working together to identify things that need to be done for that patient's oral health and giving them the amount of education and information they need to have a high case acceptance rate. Have I missed out on any of the benefits that a practice can have?
I think generally you've covered it. I think the key point for me is it allows the practice to offer dentistry to its patients in a comprehensive way. There's no other way to do it comprehensively, in my view. You know, it enables the dentist to have more time with the patients, to do the higher end stuff, to do more thorough examinations and so forth. And it allows the hygienist to treat the patients in a more comprehensive manner and educate them. And I think it results in a patient base of better oral hygiene, better compliance, better case acceptance. And I think the outcomes for both the practice and the patient, you know, are much, much better.
And when we're talking about the kind of practices that should get a hygienist in place, are there any, I imagine if a practice is starting from scratch and they're just trying to fill their books, maybe delay getting a hygienist until a little bit later, or would you say no, jump in straight away with a hygienist?
Oh, look, Julie, it's a tricky one. And I think particularly given the current times we're in, I'm a bit more conservative with my approach. So yeah. The practices that have opened, you know, over the course of the pandemic, I've guided them to just start on their own. And once we got that rolling, then they've implemented a hygienist. So I've got one practice that maybe was practicing for about 10 months. Their doors are open for 10 months and then they're all ready for a hygienist. And the transition was fine. And in the meantime, she had the funds to keep the practice going. So particularly at this time where things are so uncertain everywhere, it's probably the conservative approach is good for practitioner and for us because it's times we've never experienced before.
Yeah, and they're going on for longer than we had expected as well.
Yeah.
And so when would you say a dental practice is ready or a hygienist?
For me, every practice is very different and it depends how you want to structure the practice with that hygienist being integrated. So it depends on how many hours the dentist wants to work. Are they thinking they're going to get the hygienist in, do more higher end stuff and restorative stuff that's going to be higher income generating? And then they think, okay, if I get a hygienist, I'm going to reduce to 4 days a week. You know, so it really depends on what the patient base is in terms of how many patients you have in the practice, active patients, how many days, you know, and then I would work out how many days the dentist wants to work, how many days of hygiene we have available, what kind of hours the practice is open. And I think it's fitted to each and every practice what will work.
Yeah. And I suppose they could run a report. Last week we spoke about running a report of how many cleanings that you get done in every year. And do you find that when a practice goes over into incorporating a hygiene program, there are some patients that are quite resistant and they just want to see that dentist for their cleaning. And do you allow that to happen?
Not really. You know, the whole practice needs to be on board. And if we start accommodating patients to see the dentist, you know, for their hygiene appointment rather than the hygienist, we're never going to make that break. And the hygienist and the dentist need to be each other's biggest cheerleaders. The dentist needs to be able to believe in her. And if they do, they will be able to get the patient across. And you will find, you know, sometimes there will be that handful over the course of a year that you've just struggled to get across. And the front office coordinator may well book them in with the dentist for the next one if they can't manage to encourage them to see the hygienist. And then it's the dentist's job from there. That, look, you know, I won't be doing this any longer. You're going to be, I will be popping in the room to see you. You know, Sally's going to take extremely good care of you and all that sort of jazz. So
nice. So just, yeah, so if it can't be done at the reception desk, yeah, then that's okay. You know, do your best. But if you can't, then go to the dentist. But the agenda is to get 100% of our cleanings done by the hygienist. Yeah. And so when we're talking about when a practice would be ready for a hygienist, you could do a tally of how many cleanings you did last year and times that by 1 hour, which is generally the time it takes for a hygienist to do her appointment times, and see how much that adds up to. Then you'll know whether you need to get a hygienist on part-time, how many days a week, or full-time.
Yeah, or the other ways, working out how many patients you've got in the clinic times 2 times a year, that's how many hygiene appointments a year that should be taking place. And if you base it off that, then I find all the extra things hygienists do other than just the routine hygiene, like, you know, this really opens up a big area for treatment that often doesn't get done so well, so comprehensively. And, you know, they start looking at perio in a more thorough fashion, and they'll have perio treatment planning and cases happening, and then they'll be doing whitening, and so many of them are doing many, many things these days. Myobrace for children, or all sorts of things can happen in that area.
But I think that's a big part of it, isn't it? That, you know, for us not to just think of that hygiene department as just cleanings, because depending, we've got hygienists, therapists, and oral health therapists as well, yeah, which are three different things. And any, depending upon their training, there could be a much wider scope of services that they can perform in that surgery that we're just not all immediately aware of.
Yeah. So I find if we base it on those numbers and then the extra services, they tend to always be, you know, quite busy. So,
yeah. And so when a practice is saying, okay, yep, we're going to incorporate a hygiene program, what sort of characteristics, what kind of skills, what sort of person should they be looking for when they are doing their recruitment of their hygienist?
I think the ideal hygienist is just has such a mixture of strengths and skill sets. They are a really good communicator and educator. They're a good clinician. They're business savvy. They know how to market, you know, especially internal marketing. They are really such an important part of the practice and the dentist's right-hand man, really. Mm. And I always find that the dentists often learn just as much from the hygienist as what the hygienist learns from them, because they've got different skills to offer each other.
Yeah, yeah. And the dentists within the practice itself and the hygienist, they need to be able to build a very dynamic and healthy rapport with one another, because they will be working closely with one another.
Yeah, it's so important. Yeah, mm. They really have to have, yeah, each other's back all the time.
Yeah. And I had the thought that would it be a good idea to actually advertise for a very experienced hygienist and then be able to hand over a bit of the trust to that new staff member to actually create this department themselves to make sure that it's successful, because they've done it all before.
I think really for a new hygiene department, you need someone experienced to get it up and running, to train the staff how it all works, get everybody on the same page. If you can get somebody who's well experienced in that field, it's going to make it run so much better, get you off on the right foot and get everybody engaged in the right manner from day one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So getting everybody engaged from day one, we've got two groups of people that need to be engaged. One are all the other team members, and the other group are the patients themselves. First of all, let's look at the team. How would you get the team all on board with the same goal, on that path to bringing a hygienist department into the practice?
It's just education, educating them about the benefits and how much better it's going to be for the patients, how much better it's going to be for the practice, the profitability side of it, the opportunities it creates for them. You know, there'll be new roles in the practice. Perhaps if you've got a couple of hygienists, then there'll be a space for a hygiene coordinator perhaps, and there's learning for them about different things. I find a lot of the time, you know, staff are quite hesitant about these new things because we're often so busy and we think, oh, another thing the dentist wants me to do. Another thing. But if we educate them properly and we make that process enjoyable, I find once a hygienist is there, they get super excited. I know I'm working with a practice at the moment and they're a bit hesitant in the beginning, some of the staff, but they love it. It's like the most important thing in the practice to them now. And in the last couple of weeks, they've also bought Airflow. So it's their new toy and everyone's ecstatic. Yeah.
That Airflow practice that I work with have recently brought a hygienist on board and she's brought the Airflow, and that's become the selling feature of the hygiene department. Yeah. All of a sudden you're experiencing a hygiene visit that is so gentle and pleasant to go through in comparison to what it's been in the past. That, and the patients are coming out. I sit there with the receptionist at the front desk and they're coming out saying, oh, that was just magnificent. And so it becomes the selling point.
Yeah, and I think they've just had so much interest and so much excitement amongst the staff and patients with the Airflow. Everybody's raving about it, and which leads us down a path of so many exciting things that are happening in the world of hygiene at the moment that you and I both know about, that leads to testing bacteria and things like that. That's a whole new avenue to go down, but certainly there's some really exciting things to investigate. So I guess if anyone's interested, be sure to contact Julie or myself if you want to know more about that.
Yeah, and I will provide the link in the Lunch and Learn for the podcast episode where I had Sue Rosalind from Hygiene Hackers on talking about some of the stuff that has been happening. So do listen to that. And, you know, obviously if you need to have a hygiene department established in your practice, Amina is absolutely the one to contact. So all of her details are going to be in the Lunch and Learn as well. So the resistance that we naturally put up whenever we are doing anything new, faced with any kind of change, to just accept that as the leaders of the practice, just accept that there is going to be resistance and support it with as much education and guidance as possible. Get the whole group involved in the implementation process as well, because if people are involved in the decisions, in that decision-making process, they are so much more open to then rolling out this change because they feel like they've got some sense of control over it. Because the resistance to change is all about the unknowns. I just don't know the unknowns, and that freaks me out a little bit. Whereas if you're involved in the decision-making process, you feel like you've got control over the unknowns to a certain degree, and it can really help alleviate that resistance to change.
I think it's just human nature, Julie, that we don't like being told what to do as humans.
Oh, yeah. I still don't
like you and I. However, you know, if someone asks you to be part of something, it feels like a privilege almost.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great point. That's right. Don't tell people what to do. Ask them to be involved in it.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe the amount of resistance I feel come up in my body the minute anyone tells me what to do. It's to a point where I've got to be really mindful about it and go, no, accept it all with grace. Oh, it's a great idea. Yes.
I often forget about this little thing when I'm dealing with my husband, but anyway, yeah.
Now, in regards to getting the patients on board, what's been your experience of successful ways of doing that?
Just tell them they have to do it. No. When they call the practice,
you
know, we're really relying on the front desk person to be excited, be able to have faith in the hygienist. I find one of the best ways, actually, to get the team to have this natural trust and excitement to be able to encourage, and also the dentist, is that the hygienist comes in and everybody has a visit with her, the staff. So they know what a hygiene visit is. They know what she's going to do, or he, I should say, and they are excited about the experience then genuinely. And when we're genuinely excited about a person or a service or a product, it's a natural thing to want to tell everybody about it. So I think this is an important thing to happen in the early stages of recruitment, so the staff can confidently tell them, and then it'll just be natural. That Mrs. Yeah. Smith, you're going to love Jane. She cleaned my teeth last week, you know.
And that's a good idea to get them to have that hygiene visit so they can actually just espouse all of the wonderful benefits of seeing this hygienist.
Then it'll just happen, and they just need to encourage. And the difficult ones, it might take either a phone call from the dentist maybe, or appoint them with the dentist first time round if you really have to. And then, you know, particularly if they're 90 and they've been seeing that dentist for 30 years, take it easy. Book them in with a dentist and let them deal with it at that time if you really need to. But I'm sure for a skilled front office person, it won't be many, you know, that you won't be able to get over the line.
And one of the things I've often resisted but I haven't experienced it, so I could be putting up resistance around it for no good reason, is when I have been involved in practices that have a hygienist and, you know, training people on the front desk, the patient comes out from the hygiene visit where the dentist comes in for 10 minutes to do the examination and then comes back out of that hygiene visit. The issues that I have around that are, number one, when the hygienist is in the middle of possible education, informing, engagement of the patient, treatment of the patient, all that engagement gets broken and disrupted when the dentist comes in. That's the only time the dentist can come in, though, so that has to happen. Likewise, quite often the dentist may be seeing another patient in their dental surgery, and whatever engagement, rapport, level of importance that patient feels that dentist has for them in that moment, they're commanding 100% of their time, that gets disrupted. Does it make that patient feel lesser than for the dentist just to kind of duck out for 10 minutes? We're all busy as well. I know I'd be frustrated to lie around there for 10 minutes waiting for something else to happen where I actually pay the dentist for that chunk of time. And when I'm training receptionists, I've heard every now and again a patient come out and see the cost for the examination and say, the dentist was there for like 5 minutes and I get charged $70. What are your thoughts around that?
So I think, you know, the scheduling is super important to start with. The structure, staff structure is also very important, and the training. So, you know, the nurse who is working with the dentist, the patient should not really even notice, you know, if the nurse is doing a great job, because the patient shouldn't be left alone. There should be a nurse with them the whole time. And usually the exam's taking place after the dentist has given anaesthetic and they're waiting for that to work. So that's the whole rationale.
Okay.
And then the dentist, you know, of course, things don't always work in a perfect world. It's dentistry. We know what happens. But, you know, it takes just skillful communication, basically from the nurse, that's their job, to make sure that the patient doesn't even really realise what's going on. And in terms of the hygiene part too, a good hygienist will know exactly how to manage that. You know, so they're in the middle of a discussion about something. As soon as the dentist comes in, it's her job to control the situation. Dr. So-and-so, I was just discussing with Jane about such and such, and finished that snippet of what she was discussing at the time and involved that clinician. It's skilled communication, basically.
It is skilled communication. Yeah, I'm realizing that. Yeah. So a lot of role-playing possibly would help as well, but recognize that it's going to be a bit clunky at the start. But we have to continually have the intention to build an elegant process, a well-crafted process.
Yeah.
and have that firm intention to always be improving. As you know, the dentist improves the way they come in, the way they break away from their surgery, the way they come in. The hygienist is always looking for ways of improving and finessing the communication to make it seem more seamless.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the fee side of it, I mean, I've been working with hygienists for many, many years. I haven't really seen that as an issue.
And it could be something that I've just noticed, you know, on three or four occasions over many years that I think is more common than what it actually is. But it hasn't been your experience.
No, it hasn't. And I think it all comes down to if it's all executed well and the service is good, it won't even be questioned. You know,
nice. So. And that's true. That's true. I mean, yeah, they do. There is that joke, I think, that goes around about dentist says to the patient, I'm going to book you in for a 15-minute appointment time for that extraction, and it's going to cost $400. And the patient says, what do you mean, $400 for 15 minutes? And the dentist says, oh, I can take an hour if you'd like. So we are talking about rather than the time it takes to get something done, building the value in that service.
I'm always happy to get out of the dental chair quite rapidly myself.
I think you are. Not alone there.
Yeah.
So once you've got a hygienist in place, of course, any new patient that comes in, they will be naturally put into that hygiene program as if it's been in place for years and years and years. This is just the way your practice does things. So there's really no special considerations around new patient management. Would you say that?
No, the only thing I highly encourage is that the dentist still may have, you know, they might have had a 50 or 60 minute appointment to do an exam and a clean previously. And what I would encourage is that they still use that 50 minutes, but it's an exam only. Take all your radiographs, do a thorough examination, look for all the opportunities to diagnose treatment. Of course, it's better for the business, but also, you know, how many times I've seen, sometimes I sit in and I watch the clinicians do a consultation. They don't get through half the things that they want to discuss or that need to be addressed or the patient's even asking about, because they're trying to get through a clean. So this is the time to be used to do a comprehensive exam, and your case acceptance will skyrocket. I think I've had one practice in the first few months it like doubled or tripled, something ridiculous like that.
You're absolutely right. It's certainly been my experience as well. The practices that do take a good 45 minutes to an hour to do the examination, even on regular patients, to do that examination, the case acceptance rates always increase because patients need to understand what's going on in their mouth and what their options are in order to happily accept and proceed with their treatment, because sometimes they book in, but then they later on cancel as well.
And I think it's more apparent this day and age because it's not... We used to go to the doctor years ago or the dentist, and whatever the dentist or doctor said, we just accepted it and we complied. But now we've got Dr. Google and we're all doctors and, you know, they've got 100 questions or they're going to be a bit more inquisitive than perhaps.
That's right. And we need to feel like we're making decisions for ourselves rather than just blindly taking the advice of a doctor. Yeah. We feel like we need to be more responsible over our health than that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So with a new patient, would you always say still that they have the initial examination with the dentist as the first appointment time and the dentist is the one that says, now I'm going to book you in for a hygiene visit?
Always, always, yeah. When it's done the reverse, you'll see the hygienist kick and scream and chuck an absolute wobbly because it'll throw them all out of whack.
So tell me more about that. So why would it not be a good scenario to have the hygiene visit first? So it's a nice clean mouth for the dentist to examine.
That side of it would be awesome. But the problem is the hygienist basically ends up doing the dentist exam anyway because the patient's got all the questions. And then they're frustrated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds fair. Would you book in the new patient for examination and then on a separate day the hygiene visit, or would you, if it, you know, sometimes patients do ring up and they say I want a clean, you know, that's what I want, how would you structure that new patient experience, the initial couple of appointment times?
It's up to the patient. They're happy to come in. A lot of people are busy, so it's easier for them just to come in and spend a couple of hours there and just get it all over and done with, and then others will say, let me break it up a bit. But yeah, it depends on the patient.
Once you've got your hygienist selected and starting this hygiene program, what have you done with some of the practices that you've worked in to help build their profile up? And so there's a, you're kind of adding on awareness opportunities for your existing patients, saying this is a new thing that we're doing now.
Like, how do you market that?
Yeah.
So through their website, biggest thing is going to be internal marketing, the people in the practice when the patients come in. I find those TV screens in the waiting room with everything that's happening in the practice and all the new things, while they're sitting there waiting, they get to see what's happening. So it's fresh in their mind, actually, when they go in to see the clinician. Hey, I saw this on your TV screen. I'm interested in that. It creates conversation. And then I guess other than that, you know, social media, they might have their news, local newspapers and things where they say, hey, this is what we're doing. We've got this new person here. This is what they offer, just letting the community know. And then I guess the other thing is sending the hygienists or therapists out to the schools and so forth, as we've done in the past.
And like with everything, it's about trying to create a know, like, and trust element to it. So it's not such a foreign person to come up against. And you could even have the new hygienist video them saying a little bit of information about them. This is me. This has been my history. This is why I love hygiene. This is what you'll experience when you come in.
Yeah.
And so they get to see this friendly character. If they have got something like airflow, they can say, I've got a brand new system here that's going to make your cleaning so much more comfortable. And, you know, my clients regularly tell me how much more comfortable the cleanings are. So I can't wait to meet you, etc. And, or even having the principal dentist say, I'd like to introduce our new hygienist, Amina. The reason I've got her on board is because I really wanted to fill out the comprehensive treatment that we do for you and make sure that you have all the benefits and da-da-da. And then it goes on to the hygienist telling a little bit about themselves. You could do that in a really lovely one-minute video that can go up on social media regularly and on your website.
And there's so many avenues. Like, I know if you've got a therapist, for example, and you're doing a lot of Myer Brace, or you're trying to encourage kids in the practice, someone likes treating children. Some practices I've seen have got a dental chair that's like a dinosaur. Have you seen it?
I've really seen a picture ages ago of it.
And they market it everywhere. And I know my sister, for example, she's in Canberra, but she sourced a practice with that chair just to try and get her kid in the door to a dentist. Although I know many heaps of great dentists there that I could have referred her to, but this was the drawing card to get the little one in the door. Other practices, one practice I worked in as well, we had this little dinosaur, but it's got, like, you know, the mouth fitted to it like a model, the dental models we use. So the girls would take that out to the schools, and they'd use that for their brushing demonstrations and so forth. The kids become attached to this thing. And then they'd go home to their parents and say, you know, we want to go to the dentist so we can see Dino, the dinosaur. Or...
And I think it's worth looking at other people, other dental practices in other countries as well, their Facebook pages, and see what other people are doing to help build a fun, caring, thoughtful awareness. You know, this is what we provide to our patients. Yeah. So patients, and I do like the idea of doing the waiting room video as well. As we know with Michael Cernic and Channel D, the minute these are audio-free videos that are customised to your own practice, and the practices that incorporate these within their waiting rooms, the patients are going into the surgeries asking questions about what they've just seen. So it is a tremendous opportunity there. And now with all of the waiting rooms barren of toys, barren of magazines because they've cleared them out, then do bring in a screen to your waiting room, because it is going to be ending up the only thing that's going to be entertaining your patients.
And that other might than be their phones.
Other than their phones, that's exactly right. Is there anything else that you wanted to, that you think is important to mention around a hygiene program?
I think we've covered the main points I would want to cover in a short little clip. I mean, I could sit here and talk about this for hours, really. I don't think anyone wants that, though.
I think it's a good idea to maybe provide club members with a few scripts and things like that. So maybe if I can get you back on in week 4 of this September series around hygiene, and we can present a few scripts that a dentist can do in order to promote the service of the hygienist. The receptionist can say to existing patients and to new patients around the scheduling and booking, then that might be helpful. Would I be able to entice you to do that?
That will be awesome.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, in the fourth week of September. And thank you, club members, for this lunch and learn. Enormous thank you to Amina Basile of Dental Management Expertise. Her details are in this lunch and learn. So if you are looking at implementing a hygiene program within your practice, she is the best person to contact about that. I look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Amina. Bye.